And what we're looking at today is mental well-being. We've called it well-being because well-being is something that affects us all. In a way, that's one of the last sort of taboo subjects around that people don't bring out in the open, that they don't mention. There's a lot of stigma about it, and there's a lot of stereotyping about it. And this meeting is partly to talk about that, to talk about how we can get rid of that stigma, how we can give equality to those people who've had mental health problems, and how we can move forward. We've got Paul Farmer, Paul, who is the Chief Executive of Mind, which is a leading charity on mental health in this country. And he's going to give us an overview and a background, tell us about the extent of the problem. And he's in a position where he's seen the scale of the problem and what needs to be done in terms of making changes, not only in our attitudes, but in the attitude of government as well. Because Mind, as well as being a charity, as well as working with people who work in the field, obviously work with government in order that we can move forward into a more positive view on mental health. So, Paul, thank you.
Thanks very much indeed. Good evening, everyone. It's a real it's great to be here, and it's great to be here towards the end of what I think has been a very important year for the world of mental health, and to spend a few moments reflecting on that, but also to think about some of the challenges that we face coming up in the next 12 months. It is good that we're here in this building because I think in many ways our politicians, our parliamentarians have led the way in this year of change for mental health. Not only do we have the groundbreaking debate which Kevin and Charles Walker, but also Andrea Leadsom and Sarah Wollaston spoke at, where they, for the first time, we saw parliamentarians talking about their own experiences on the floor of the House. We've also seen this year the passage of a bill which is tackling discrimination, some of the forms of discrimination that are kind of very deeply rooted in our society. So, for instance, it's not possible for you to be a juror if you have experienced a mental health problem. It hasn't been possible for you to be an MP if you've been previously sectioned under the Mental Health Act. And there are also bars in company law and education law that act as a barrier. Now, that is a kind of comment, I think, in its own right, of the kind of deeply seated stigma and discrimination that has existed around this subject of mental health. But thanks to a private member's bill, which has been taken forward by Gavin Barwell, MP in Croydon, with full cross-party support, I'm very pleased to say, we are very hopeful that all those pieces of legislation will be wiped away. And I think symbolically, that's a very, very important act in reflecting the shift that we're beginning to see. We've also seen this year, in the form of the Health and Social Care Act, an important amendment which now puts very clearly into legislation the idea of what we call the parity of esteem. This is the parity of esteem between physical health and mental health. And if any of you have worked or accessed mental health services, you will know that for far too long, mental health services have been, and it's a well-worn phrase, the Cinderella of the NHS. This parity of esteem clause now offers the potential, and I emphasise the word potential at this stage, for mental health services and mental health care to be seen on a par with physical health care. And I think, again, that's an enormously important step forward in the right direction in terms of the changes that we're beginning to see. We've also seen, as both Mark and Kevin have rightly highlighted, many people in the public eye talking about their own experiences. And whether it is rock stars like Frankie Sanford from the Saturdays, who I must confess I'd never heard of until she talked about her experiences in Glamour magazine, which I'd neither ever heard of. Because I'm not entirely in the target audience of Glamour magazine. I'm about 25 years too old, and I'm definitely the wrong gender. But the important point is that Frankie Sanford, who is a top for many young women, talks about her own experiences. And we have seen, and you know, we really have seen this year, I think, a real turning of the tide in terms of many people being more open, talking about their experiences in the public eye. And one something else is happening in this country that I think is as important as what happened on those green benches a few months ago. Because what happened on those green benches a few months ago was what we see happen on many occasions in private corners, in workplaces, in faith communities, a whole variety of different settings, a bunch of people stand up and are openly talking about their own experiences of mental health. And when one person does it, somebody else does it. When somebody else does it, somebody else does it. We hear now increasingly people talking, as we saw in Westminster. We had a little kind of sneak insight here. We had a kind of vague idea that a member of parliament might be open about their own experiences. We had no idea that four would be. And that's because we know that this is such a hidden condition for so many people. So I think we've got a lot to be very pleased and proud about in this year. Not just as an organisation mind, but also the Times Change campaign that we are a very significant part of, but also the work that is being done by hundreds and hundreds of people up and down this country. And if you want to get a sense of that, just go and have a look at the Times Change Facebook page. Day in, day out, people talking for the first time about their own experiences, getting help, getting support from their peers. We are on the verge of something really important for mental health. So, we can all go home. Job done. I wish. I think one of the real challenges for us is, I think there are three very significant challenges that we're facing us at the moment. I think it's very easy, it could be very easy for the media, for politicians, for others, to kind of feel that we've done it. It's all been done now, it's all been said, the job has been done. Well, I'd love to say that was the case, but it couldn't be further from the truth. Because for every person that we hear now being open, talking about their experiences, we increasingly hear stories about people who still experience some of the worst stigma and discrimination. We hear, Kevin mentions the experience of people of the ATOS welfare reform process. We know that that is a very challenging process for many people with mental health problems who really want to try to find the best kind of support to find access to work, but this process is proving very challenging for them. We also know that when times are tough, that social attitudes quite often harden, not soften. So unfortunately, we are now still hearing far too many people telling us about their negative experiences of public services, perhaps where cuts have impacted on the quality of support that people are able to have, but also sometimes of their experiences of going to try to apply for a job, being open about their mental health problems, and feeling as though being open about their mental health problems has meant that they're not getting the interviews, they're not getting the support they need. So for every good story that we're hearing, we're still hearing those stories that make us feel we've got an enormous job to do. And I suppose I want to kind of think a little bit about what are the things that we'd really like to see next year happen that could help us take us to that next step, whereby we're not just the flavour of the moment, we are seeing real and sustainable change for our cause of mental health. And I do truly believe that this is a cause. This is a cause which is both a health cause, where others have mentioned the analogy with cancer as an issue. We want to be seen as an issue because it's got the same prevalence as cancer, and yet it doesn't have the same profile or the same attention as cancer. But we also know that mental health is a cause about rights. It's a cause about being seen as equal citizens in our society, and we want to see it in those two ways. So a few things that we might see that I hope will show us that progress of change is taking place. If we're really tackling the stigma, more people will come forward for help. So in an interesting and slightly strange kind of way, I would hope that we will see more people seeking help. So if, for instance, we see an increase in the number of people being prescribed antidepressants and being able to access talking therapies, that's not necessarily a bad thing. It may be that we're beginning to see the true scale of the unmet need of mental health care in this country. If more people seek help, we hope that they will receive the quality of care and the services that they really need. And I'm sure we'll have a debate about that later on. We have seen a significant decrease, for instance, in the number of people being able to access talking therapies on the NHS, but it's not enough. So we want to see that availability increased so that more people are able to access talking therapies in the right place at the right time for them. We want to see more people from more marginalised communities standing up and being open about their mental health issues. I don't think we've yet seen enough people from different communities being open about their experiences. And we also want to see that as a result of those better services being delivered and people being more open about it, we see better outcomes. And those better outcomes means, yes, more people with mental health problems being open about their experiences in the workplace, more people achieving jobs right the way across the spectrum, more people being open about their experiences, so that in some sectors, for instance, we've seen relatively few examples of people in business being open about their experience. I think there's some more work to do, and we very much want to see more of that in the next year. But also, I think we're going to begin to see something that we've already started to see happen, which is that for very many people, their journey in and out of a mental health experience, whether it's depression or anxiety or a more serious mental health condition, has been a very intense one. It's often been a very difficult one. And for those people who have been able to come out of that, I never use the word recover in the total sense of the word, because we know that depression is always with people. But we know that people are living their lives and have their lives back together, as Mark so eloquently told us. But we also know that people quite often, once they've been through that experience, want to put that to one side. They want to leave it behind, quite rightly and quite reasonably, because of the nature of that experience. But if we can help and encourage more people to talk more about their own experiences, in those pubs, clubs, in schools, and in hospitals, and in the workplace, then the kind of very public changes we see will become rooted in our private world. And I talk a little bit about the quiet revolution that's going on in mental health, because for every Kevin and for every Mark, there are hundreds of people who are beginning to feel as though they can talk about it. And I think that's where we've all got a part to play. Because it's also remembering that we all have our own mental health, some of it good, some of it poor. And we also will almost certainly all know somebody who has a mental health problem. So we've all got a job to do. One of the things that's most powerful in the work that I do is when I go into a psychiatric unit, I'm always struck by the lack of greetings cards, get well soon cards in a psychiatric unit. How often have we really got that language right to be able to send those messages? So I think I really believe that we're on the verge of something very, very important for this issue and cause. And in fact, to be honest, if we had a meeting in this building 10, 15 years ago and we'd invited people to come, not that many people would have come. We probably wouldn't have been able to fill this room except for the time when we were protesting against the government on mental health legislation. But, you know, we have seen a lot of change, but we've also got an awfully long way to go. And I think if we see that as a true social movement where many of us are involved, all of us have a role to play, we really, really will achieve that parity of esteem. Thanks very much.
Thank you.